to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We're in the last half hour of the show. The weekend is almost here. So excited. Hopefully it's still this warm this weekend. But as we round out today's show, our guest is Emily Cattell, who is the Maternal and Infant Health Initiatives Manager for March of Dimes of Wisconsin. And she reached out to me. I don't even know how you found me, but I got your email at asgoeswisconsin@gmail.com. And, you know, it's interesting because I feel like we've had a lot of guests on to talk about access to abortion and abortion is on the ballot and all these questions. But also, sometimes I don't know if we always make the connection that that is part of the bigger maternal and infant care or lack thereof when we talk about where Wisconsin is and who has access, which women and their babies have access to care. And this is exactly what you are working on. So thank you for reaching out, and I'm so happy you're here. Oh,
thanks. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. Whether we're talking about access to just care in general, Wisconsin is really behind in supporting our birthing citizens and our families overall. And we at March of Dimes are working to just spread awareness on where we are and what the health crisis is for moms and babies in the state.
So I feel like March of Dimes is an organization that I totally recognize the name. But if you ask me actually what you all do there, I couldn't tell you. So what is under the scope of everything that March of Dimes works on?
Yeah, well, March of Dimes is coming up on its 100-year anniversary.
That's why I've heard of it. It's been around for a while.
It started as the Roosevelt Society with President FDR to combat polio. Polio at the time was the number one killer for kids under the age of five. What the Roosevelt Society did was they marched for dimes. They went door for door and collected dimes to provide funding for research for polio. And actually, the March of Dimes research paid for research to come up with the polio vaccine and actually for the distribution of the vaccine for a lot of people in the United States. So all of us, if you're vaccinated as a March for Dimes baby, once in the late 70s, early 80s, March of Dimes didn't have any work on polio to do anymore because it was eradicated.
Funny how that can work. Science.
So what ended up happening then was they looked at for the next issue that was impacting children under the age of five, and that was birth defects and prematurity. So now March of Dimes works in research and implementation of programming to help moms and babies, and our mission is healthy moms and strong babies, again, to help keep babies alive past the age of five and help moms deliver strong babies so that they can do that.
And yet, America, as far as where we are in the developed world, not doing great when it comes to maternal mortality, and it doesn't seem like we're getting better.
No. So in the United States, every 2 hours a mom dies due to a pregnancy-related issue, and it's actually higher for an infant under the age of one to die due to a complication from prematurity. Actually, in the state of Wisconsin, that's the number one cause of an infant under the age of one. Over half of our infants are dying due to premature complications. So it is something that March of Dimes is still really working hard at, and if there was something simple like a vaccine, we would have come upon it. But maternal infant health is really complicated and has a lot of social determinants that impact it. So that's why it's really important that we look at this not only as a health issue, but also as a social, economic crisis too.
So say more about that. What are some of the, because I know that earlier this year there was a study that came out that said 80% of maternal deaths are preventable or could have been preventable, prevented. And so what are some of the social determinants that fall under that, you know, why some people are more likely, some babies are more likely to die from either premature issues or from having a baby?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, probably for the United States is 80% of our maternal death is preventable. Actually, in the state of Wisconsin, from the last maternal mortality review report, 97% of our maternal deaths in the state of Wisconsin are preventable.
What?
Yeah. So it is really important to look at those social determinants of health. So if a pregnant person has access to care, are they able to get adequate prenatal care? Are they able to get screening for health issues and then also for mental health issues? Are they able to have affordable housing? Are they unhomed during pregnancy? That makes them higher, higher in those situations that are unsafe. And then also access to healthy foods, access to any prescription medications provided for them by their doctors, hypertension medications, pregnancy-related diabetes medications, all those things impact their pregnancy. Substance abuse or substance dependence disorders and the ability to get treatment for that during their pregnancy. So all of those things will impact on an individual to have a healthy birth and healthy birth outcomes.
So what, because we're, one of the stats that I've learned since doing the show is that right now Wisconsin has 24 counties that has no OBGYN.
Yep.
And so you had sent over, so there's a report card, but then there's also, it's interesting because we've talked about food deserts before, mm-hmm. or food apartheid. We had a guest on last month who came in and talked about that. But there's also this idea of maternity care deserts.
Yeah.
And is that as simple as a county that doesn't have an OBGYN, or is it more complex than that?
Well, so prenatal care in the state of Wisconsin can be done by an OBGYN and also can be done by a family practitioner.
Okay.
So for women who have non-complicated, low risk, and I'm doing air quotes for those of you who can't see me, low risk pregnancies, it's completely fine for them to go to their family practice doctor and receive prenatal care. But like you said, there are 20 some counties in Wisconsin that there are no providers, no family practitioners, no OBGYNs. And so they have to travel far, and that impacts access to care. If you have to travel an hour, 2 hours to go get your prenatal care, and you're a working yeah. woman, or you have other children to take care of, it just impacts your ability to get to that appointment. In the state of Wisconsin, 1 in 10 women receive inadequate prenatal care. And then it's even higher in some areas, like in Milwaukee County, it's 1 in 4 women receive inadequate prenatal care. They're not getting to the doctor as much as they need to. So again, they're not getting those screens for hypertension or diabetes or mental health issues that could prevent a really bad outcome, including a death.
So, and that's interesting to me about Milwaukee, because you think of Milwaukee as the biggest city in Wisconsin. You'd think there would be access to doctors or enough doctors. It's not that there is, you don't have to drive as far. There is freighter. There's multiple institutions here. And so what are the different kinds of obstacles that people face in trying to get care when they're in such a metropolitan area?
Again, are you able to take time off yeah. from your job to go to a doctor's appointment? Are you able to find childcare for your other children you may be responsible to go to a doctor's appointment? Do you have reliable transportation to get to that doctor's appointment? Do you have health literacy so you even know what adequate prenatal care is?
Yeah.
Do women know, is it part of our health classes in high school to let a woman know when you become pregnant, you need to see your doctor 10 to 14 times from the time you figure out you're pregnant to the time you're giving birth, and that you have to, that's adequate prenatal care. Your eyes are telling me that you didn't even know that.
Well, I say this because I'm pretty open about this on the show, because I'm not great at filtering my life out of being an on-air personality. But like, I'm planning on trying to get pregnant in the next year, and I did not know that I will have to see a doctor 10 to 14 times in that time period, because that is, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of, not only just being at the doctor's office, but like you said, taking time off of this show or taking time to drive to wherever your doctor is, depending on their schedule. Like, it is, and I am a very privileged person, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a lot. I did not know that. Jane, did you know?
No idea. None.
Yeah. And so what are... I would imagine that because we didn't even touch on health insurance.
Yeah, and then health insurance.
How expensive it is to have a baby.
Yeah, how expensive it is each of those doctor's appointment to have. And are you going to go to the doctor's appointment if you're going to have a $500 bill that you can't pay for? And again, there's all these, you know, that's why we can't solve this problem with just talking about, you know, access to healthcare. It's access to, you know, health insurance. It's access to all these things. And then definitely looking at that there, you know, there are communities that don't trust healthcare systems right now and are impacted from, you know, systemic, you know, bias based on, you know, being a woman, based on the color of their skin, based on their dependency on substances. So, you know, all of those things impact why you are going to the doctor or why you won't go to a doctor.
And so obviously I think any of us who have empathy hear this and think about individual cases and how terrible and sad this is, but how does it impact the larger community or state? Like, why is this, if you are not someone of birthing age, you're not trying to get pregnant, How does this ripple effect into every other part of our community and our state when it comes to why someone else should care? If on the surface, just hearing this, they don't.
Well, I mean, if you are an employer, you should allow your employees to go to the doctor, because if they might be gone for a couple hours one day, but if they have a significant health crisis because they're not getting adequate prenatal care, then they might be unemployable for months or years. You know, if we talk about maternal death, you know, every time a mom dies, they're leaving behind other children. They're leaving behind a partner. They're leaving behind parents and siblings. And so, you know, whether or not the statistic bothers you, everyone has a woman in their life that is pregnant, has been pregnant, or will become pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's really concerning that we just turn a blind eye to women who could be saved.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel about it. But our guest this half hour is Emily Cattell, who is the Maternal and Infant Health Initiatives Manager for March of Dimes of Wisconsin. And so what can we do? What are the policies? What's the awareness? Like, what can we actually do or advocate for to try to get out of this crisis?
Yeah. So one of the federal things going on for the United States talking policy-wise is the Pregnancy Workers Act. So that is requiring employers to make accommodations for pregnant people in the workplace if it is required by their doctors. So let's say I put boxes together up in Kimberly, Wisconsin, and normally I stand in the line, you know, putting the boxes together, but my doctor says I can't stand for 5 hours straight. You know, requiring that employer to have a chair on the line so I can still work, and it's going to have less impact on my pregnancy and my birth outcomes, mm-hmm. hopefully. At the state level, definitely looking at extending Medicaid postpartum for women so that they can still have that coverage through that fourth trimester, so that we're looking at postpartum mental illness, looking at other medical things that might happen because you gave birth. The very simple thing is I say to someone, if you had a heart attack, we wouldn't say, oh, 90 days after having a heart attack, you don't need to see a doctor anymore. That's what we're looking at for pregnancies. If you give birth, we're not going to say, oh, 60 days after giving birth, you don't need to see a doctor anymore. Whether or not, you know, you had complications or not, you should be able to have access to care.
Hold on that thought, because we got to go to commercial.
Okay.
But Emily Cattell will be here when we come back to continue talking about maternal and infant health initiatives in Wisconsin. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Taught you everything you need to know, Gracie girl.
back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bribe. We are rounding out today's show with Emily Cattell, who is the Maternal and Infant Health Initiatives Manager for March of Dimes Wisconsin. And I had to cut you off before the break. So what are some of the other initiatives we can be doing in Wisconsin to help the outcome, health outcomes for mothers and infants?
I mean, other things that you can do is get involved. You know, you can go to marchofdimes.org and definitely look at ways that you can support your communities and those pregnant people in your communities. Also, you know, just look at other places that service pregnant women outside of healthcare. You know, your community doula groups, your breastfeeding groups. The African American Breastfeeding Association is really active here in the Milwaukee area. And just find ways that you can support pregnant people in your communities.
And so one of the things that is an unfortunate truth, but it is true, is the outcome, how different outcomes are depending on what racial demographic you are. And not just in the country, but also in Wisconsin, Black mothers are 5 times more likely to die from being pregnant than white women.
Yes. Yeah. And that's actually the worst racial inequity in maternal health in the entire United States.
Oh, great. Great,
so
great, great.
So when you think of, you know, when you think of racial inequity, you don't think Wisconsin, you don't think the nice Midwest, you know, you think of Alabama, Texas, and things like that. But the problem is not down south. The problem is here, right, in our own backyard. And again, Black infants are 3 times more likely to die before their first birthday when compared to their white counterparts. Black women are 65% more likely to give birth prematurely in the state. And again, it's just really hard to understand that when we're supposed to be, you know, equal. We're supposed to be able to operate in our world no matter what we look like. But it does matter.
And is it, is it largely the things that we talked about in the last segment, meaning that access to childcare and being able to actually get to a doctor, transportation, get time off of work? Or is it also, because I think this is sometimes things that I hear as far as, you know, we saw this with Venus Williams, I mean, Serena Williams, right? Of just once you're actually even in the doctor's office, having them believe you when you say something feels wrong. And how much of it sometimes is also just the misdiagnosis or misdiagnosis or missed diagnosis. I felt like Oprah right there. of doctors' own implicit bias when trying to treat or service women who are not white.
Right. I mean, one of the craziest things is just systemic racism, and healthcare is a system that suffers from that. There is research that all of a sudden one day it was not okay to segregate your hospital, but then there was no training on training people and getting those, you know, ideas of this person is different because of the color of their skin. There was no, there's no coaching as you, as desegregation happened in the healthcare system. So all those beliefs of separate just kind of still muddle through. And again, when you compare a woman, a Black woman versus a white woman, same economic status, same education level, same everything, the outcome is still different.
That's wild to wrap your head around.
So it is because that that person is a Black woman, it is because that person is a white woman, that they're receiving different treatment. And again, it's not, you know, evil doctors who are going out and, you know, betraying their Hippocratic oath to do no harm. It's just that it's still in textbooks that Black women experience less pain than white women. It's and those are just myths that became fact as the country, you know, tried to do better, but we still don't do what we should be doing when we are looking at systemic racism and how the healthcare system is failing our Black and brown communities.
How is that still in textbooks? I feel like we update textbooks every year too, because it's like the argument of it being a money-making scheme. And so you're like, oh, no, you need this edition because we need you to spend another $400 on this book, even though it says largely the same thing. How is that still in textbooks?
Because it's not researched. And that's why we, you know, March of Dimes is one of those things that we have to go back to science and credible research and, you know, go against things that are just beliefs and just, you know, old wives tales. You know, one of the things that I talk about all the time in maternal health is the old wives tale of, oh, your baby should move less in the third trimester. That's not true. That's a wives tale. And so that's one of the things that we encourage women to do in their third trimesters is count the kicks. And there's initiatives out there to, you know, make sure that wives tale is not public belief and people think that's 100% true.
Keeps spreading, yeah.
You know, and so again, it's one of those things that so-and-so heard or, oh, my, you know, my doctor who, you know, has been practicing medicine for, you know, 70 years it tells me this, so I believe it's true. It's not. You just have to, you know, think of where those health professionals were trained and how many years ago and how different our society looks from the last edition of that textbook that was written in 1972, you know?
That is wrong.
That is wrong. And again, it's, you know, it is that implicit bias, like you're saying. It's straightforward racism and it's straightforward, you know, a way that we are failing our communities in our state. And again, that's why when you look at, you know, Milwaukee County having the worst birth outcomes, it's because that's where our Black and brown communities are. Yeah. And we know that those social determinants of health, you know, income, access to housing, access to food, access to higher education, all of that is impacted by racial inequity.
Well,
I know.
Sorry, we have to end it on such a sad note, but there is hope. There is people working on it. You can check out March of Dimes at marchofdimes.org.
Yes.
Marchofdimes.org. A lot of information, a lot of research on where Wisconsin falls in under this and the work that all of you are doing. So thank you so much for doing that work. And thank you, Emily Cattell, for coming in here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that will do it for us today. Joe Zepecki will be with us tomorrow for our Friday show. Get out and vote. Early voting is already underway. And we got 5 days. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Get it.